You say in the name of Jesus, I'm not going by what I see. I go by what the Word of God says. There's more than just this physical realm. There's also a spiritual realm.
I don't care what this looks like. I know what God's Word says.
I was told that I would always have severe asthma and food allergies.
I was born missing the left side of my heart with a very small chance of living.
The doctors indicated that I had a permanent brain injury and that I would never function in mainstream society again.
I'm Tim McDermott, and my brother and I were told that we would never recover from autism. From a young age, I had several diagnoses, including Asperger's syndrome, dysexecutive syndrome, and communication disorders. My brother James was diagnosed with autism before he turned 3. For years, it seemed like we would never be normal. But then my parents stumbled across the healing journey of Hannah Terades. A few weeks later, we went to Andrew's free Grace and Faith conference, where we were healed of autism. Today, 10 years later, I'm still walking in my complete healing, and I am not alone.
I haven't needed my inhaler in years, and now I eat whatever I want.
My heart grew back its missing piece, and the doctors cannot explain it.
Today, I'm completely healed, and I get to teach God's truth about healing.
Because people like you partnered with Andrew Womack Ministries, we have all been given our lives back. We cannot thank you enough for your generosity, but there are still millions of lives out there looking for the same truth that set us free. Will you help us bring this message to them?
The word needs to get out to change people's lives. Please consider a partnership.
Please partner with this ministry. It's amazing.
Please consider being a partner with this ministry.
You know, you may not know these people, but I know every one of these people that you just saw them give a testimony. And I tell you, Jesus changed their life because of our partners. If you've not yet joined with us and become a partner, I ask you to pray about it and join with us today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
You need to see yourself as a steward, not an owner of the money that you have.
Once you understand that it isn't your money, it's His money, and then He just blesses us, and our finances improved. God really blessed our finances. You can trust God with your money.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on financial stewardship. I'm now into my third week of this teaching, and I tell you, this has been powerful. This is something that every single one of us need to get hold of these truths. I'm teaching on finances, on prosperity, but I'm doing it from a different perspective. Instead of preaching it from a standpoint that could be taken as greed, and people say, oh man, I love this because this is, I'm going to give and it's going to be given back unto me. It's true that when you give, God gives it back unto you, Luke 6:38. But the motivation behind it ought to be so that you could be a blessing to other people, not just so that you could use it for yourself. And that's the reason I've entitled this teaching Financial Stewardship. We are a steward of the resources that God gives us. And when God increases us, it's not so that we can just have more stuff. It's so that we can be a bigger blessing. When you see yourself as a steward, well, then it's always about what does the Lord want you to do with these assets and the things that He's given you. I tell you, this is a different way of approaching it. I still believe in prosperity, and I believe that God wants all of us to prosper. And I'm going to talk more about that, about there needs to be increase, and that I believe most of us are living way below the standards, but we need to have the mentality of a steward. Yesterday, I was in Luke chapter 16, and I was talking about this parable where there was a man who was a steward to a rich man. The rich man came to him and he says, I've heard an accusation that you're wasting my finances, that you aren't being a good steward. Put your books in order. I'm going to look at them. And if what I've heard is true, I'm going to fire you. And the man showed that it was true. He was guilty of wasting his master's resources because he said in Luke chapter 16, verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I'm ashamed. I spent quite a bit of time on this yesterday, but this was an admission of guilt. He was guilty. He knew he was going to be losing his job. And he says, I cannot dig. I believe he could have dug. He just didn't want to. People who misuse money have this get-rich-quick mentality, win-the-lottery mentality, a welfare mentality where they want other, they're trying to take advantage of other people. They aren't producing on their own. And he says, I cannot dig, and then to beg, I'm ashamed. He should have been ashamed to stealing, but he wasn't ashamed to steal. There's a lot of people that aren't ashamed to sit here and take handouts and money, but they are ashamed to go beg. Well, in a way, handouts are begging. Now, again, I made this point yesterday. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Any person can get into a situation because of health or because of being laid off from a job. You might need help temporarily, and I'm not saying that you should be so proud that you shouldn't take it. But to live that way and make this the way that you live, and you just live off of other people. You think that everybody owes you something. That is an ungodly concept. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, if you don't work, don't eat. Temporarily, don't be so proud that you won't sit there and accept help, but to live that way to where you just mooch off of other people is not a godly concept. Now again, there may be some people that have a physical problem or something that just prohibits them from going out and work. I would say that, man, receive the Word of God, get healed, and then go out and work. But temporarily or in certain situations, there might be a need for you to just, you know, take from other people. But that certainly is not what anybody should desire or look for. So this man was showing a bad attitude towards money. He was wanting to just take advantage of other people and not produce on his own. And then he said here in verse 4, he said, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. Now this was a rich man, and apparently he probably had more than just two debtors, but it only gives the example of two people that he did this to. I think that this is more of just, you know, a token, an example of what he did. He probably called in every one of his Lord's debtors, probably more than two people. And what he began to do was to discount their bills that they owed his master. Look at this. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto them, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. In other words, he reduced his debt from 100 measures of oil down to 50 measures of oil. He discounted it 50%. Now, we don't know what a measure of oil here was worth. I don't. But, you know, let's just say that it was $10,000. And he just discounted his bill to $5,000. It could have been $100,000, and he gave him $50,000 discount. And then he called in another, and he said, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. He knocked 20% off of this man's bill. And again, if it was $100,000, well, then this would have been $20,000 that he discounted. And the logic behind all of this was, he knew he was going to be fired because he had not been a good steward of his Lord's money, and he didn't want to go out and just work a job. He didn't want to beg for money. So what he did, he took his master's money. He was still stealing money from his master. But now this is significant. Pay attention to this because this is the whole point of the parable. Instead of taking the money that from his master and putting it into his pocket, he was putting it into the pocket of other people. He was using money to influence his future, to affect people, so that when he was fired, he'd be able to go knock on their door and say, do you remember that I discounted your bill $50,000? I've lost my job. Could you help me for a while? Could I stay with you? Would you give me something to eat for a while? And then he did this to every one of his Lord's debtor. So maybe there was hundreds of them. And he just had it lined up for the rest of his life that he could go to people and they would feel obligated to help him because he had given them so much. He used money to influence people and affect his future. Now, he had been stealing money before, but his reaction here shows that he had never used this money to plan for his future. He hadn't taken it and hidden it someplace. He hadn't invested it so that he could go and get access to that money and live off of the money that he had stolen from his master. He had been blowing it on things. He'd been buying, you know, flat screen TVs and fancy cars, and that's the way we would do it today. He had just put it into things that devalue the moment you buy them. He didn't invest. He was just, you know, getting fancy clothes and fancy food and all of these things. And he blew all of the money that he had taken from his master. He had nothing to show for it. And so he was going to be out on the street. So he now kept stealing money from his master, but now he was using it to influence people for his future. Now that is really important. And look at this. In verse 8 it says, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Now I read this passage for years, and I could understand a man taking advantage of a person, his position, and taking money for himself. I could understand him using money to bribe people and to influence them. But I could not understand why this master commended this man. Why would you commend a man who is taking your money and giving it away to people, stealing money from you without your consent and just giving it to other people? Why would you commend a person like that? There's two things I want you to see in this 8th verse. The first thing is that this master, the Lord of this servant, had an attitude about money that most of us don't have. And I believe it's because he recognized God was his source. He didn't see all of the assets that he had as being the real asset. It was his relationship with God. It was his Father who gave him the ability to get wealth that was the real source of his prosperity. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, it says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that giveth you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant as it is today." God doesn't give you wealth directly. He gives you power, an anointing, an ability to get wealth. Boy, this is huge. I could stay here for a week of broadcast just talking about this, because most people see their assets. They see their house, their car, their investments, if they have savings, 401k, anything. They see this as theirs, and this is where their trust is. Their faith is in that retirement. Their faith is in this job and security. And if they lose that job, they just fall apart like a $2 suitcase. But if you understand that God is your source, God is the one who gives you the power to get well. God's the one who gave you your talents, your abilities, gave you your health, gave you your mental ability so that you can focus. When you see God as your source, and then this job or this investment or this business that you have, it is just a channel that God has of getting resources to you. But it is not the source. It's when you see God as your source, you see things differently. Like this man, because he saw God as his source, he could look at a person who was stealing money from him, and instead of feeling violated and angry and bitter, he actually wound up complimenting this man who was stealing money from him, because money's not the important thing. I tell you, what I'm saying right here is so radical that most people just, they have a disconnect. It's like, they just can't understand what I'm saying. This is the reason I say that you've got to have the Holy Spirit show this to you. But you can reach a place to where God is your source. And they can't take God away from you. If you have a relationship, if you see God as the source of all of your prosperity, it doesn't matter. If a man starts stealing money and giving your money away to other people, you aren't that offended, because it's just money. It's just stuff. And you still have that relationship with God that produced all of these assets. You'll get it back. God is your source. You know, I don't know how many of you remember this old, nursery rhyme, or anyway, this story that I learned when I was a kid about Jack and the Beanstalk, and he climbed the beanstalk. He went up, and on the clouds there was this giant. And anyway, he had a goose that laid golden eggs. And the golden eggs, you know, were valuable. But if you get the goose, that lays the golden egg, then you aren't so upset if you see somebody steal one of the eggs because you still got the goose. You've got the source that all of that came from. See, this, and that may be a poor comparison, but it does illustrate what I'm talking about, that once you see God as your source, you don't look at the things that you've got and you don't hold them and say, this is my security, this is my freedom, this is what's going to keep me going the rest of my life. No, God is your source. And these are just things that He gave you. And if somebody stole them from you, if you lost them, if something happens, no problem. You still got the one who gave you all of that in the first place. You know, I can give you a number of examples of this, but the very first book that I ever produced, and this has been, man, this has been a long time ago, back in the early 80s, 1980s, the first book I ever produced was Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And I mean, our income was low. We were only I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I know it was less than $10,000 a month that our income was. And I was on radio and I was doing things. And I mean, when we wanted to print a book, it was going to cost me like $25,000 or $30,000 to print this book. And that was multiple months income for me. And there was just no way that I had that cash flow. So what I did was go to my partners. I told them that I was going to write this book. I asked them to buy a copy in advance, to give us the money in advance, and then when the book was printed, we would send them a copy of this book. And so from that, we raised about $25,000, which was the most money I had ever had in my life at that time, and it was awesome. But the person who was the representative for the publishing company that I was using stole that money. He did the same thing to me, to Charles Stanley and also to Nikki Cruz. We were all with this publisher, and the representative said, we'll discount the price down to $25,000 or whatever it was, and if you'll pay it up front, then you can get this great discount. So anyway, I fell for that. I gave this guy the money. He took the money from me, Charles Stanley, and Nikki Cruz, and he went to Mexico or someplace. And I got left holding the bag. And when I found out about it, I found out that not only did I lose that $20,000+, but it was going to cost me $48,000 to actually get the amount of books that I had already committed to printed. And I needed to come up with an extra $48,000. Did you know at that time, that was, I don't know, that was close to a year's income. It was just a huge amount of money. And the point I'm making is that, see, when I heard that somebody had stolen from me, the very first thing that I thought of was in Proverbs chapter 6. It says, if you catch a thief, he has to restore sevenfold or give all of the substance of his house to repay. And you could ask my staff, if you could find those people that were there. And when they told me this, I was kind of like a deer in the headlights for about 50 seconds, maybe 10 seconds, I don't know, but just a very short period of time. And then I said, let me have a pencil and a piece of paper. And I took $25,000, whatever it was that was stolen from me, and I multiplied it times seven. I said, I've caught a thief. This isn't just this person that's taken advantage of me. This is the devil that's come against me. God is my source. And I immediately said seven times this, and I figured out this is how much our income is going to increase this year. And at that time, seven times 25,000, whatever that amount was, it was huge. It would have been like doubling our income that year. And yet I said, this is what God has promised me. I've got it. I said, our income is going to increase. We're going to be able to do this. And did you know at the end of that year, I had nearly to the penny, seven times the amount that was stolen from me. And I never was bitter at this person. I'm not sitting there saying that I would hire him. I'm not saying that if they would have caught him, I wouldn't have prosecuted him. But I'm saying I wasn't bitter. I wasn't hurt. I wasn't devastated. But immediately I turned to the Lord as my source, and God multiplied what somebody had stolen from me seven times, and it actually worked out to my benefit. We nearly doubled our income that year. You know, we had a similar thing happen. In 2002, we had the Haman fire in Colorado, and it started 8 miles from where I live. It burned 140-something thousand acres. And anyway, we were under mandatory evacuation for 2 weeks. And when the police came and told us we had to evacuate, a lot of my neighbors, they got moving vans, rental trucks. They were loading up all of their furniture, trying to save everything that they could. Jamie and I got some papers, some pictures, some things, you know, that couldn't be replaced. And we got a few things, but we just decided that we were going to pray over our place. We prayed the protection of the Lord over it, and He did protect it, and our place was saved. But as we were leaving, and after we had already prayed and spoken our faith over that whole property, Jamie, man, what a blessing Jamie has been to me. But I was leaving for a meeting. I was going to be gone, and she had to move in with some friends and not know if our house was burnt or whatever. And I mean, this is our dream house. I drew the plans for it. And Jamie, if we were to move, it'd take one moving van just for all of Jamie's stuff. She has personalized this. We've got knickknacks from all over the world. I mean, it's a big deal. And yet, when we were leaving that house, not knowing if we would come back to our house still standing, Jamie looked at me and she says, "You know, it's just stuff." She said, "We had fun getting it, but we still have our relationship with the Lord. And if we lost everything we've got, we'd get it back with interest." And we drove off with that attitude. See, that's the attitude that this rich man had. When he saw this servant stealing money from him, it didn't affect him the way that most of us do. If somebody broke into your house and was stealing stuff from you, and you came and saw them with a pillowcase, and they were just putting in all of your valuables, all of your gold, your silver, your jewelry, or whatever, and if they were just taking all of your stuff, how many of you would find something to compliment them over? You know, "You are a great thief. You got past my security system. Man, I just want to compliment you." Most of us know you wouldn't think anything about complimenting them. You would feel violated. You would immediately feel like you are losing something. But when you get the attitude that this master had, it's like God is his source. And if somebody steals something from me, it's not that big of a deal. God is my source. God will give it back to me with interest 7 times if I catch a thief. I've literally had people in my ministry who did bad things to me, who came out, and yet, you know, I just value relationships more than I value money and assets. And I've actually had people who've done bad things to me that I had to fire them because it was wrong and it was causing me damage, and yet I knew that they would be in a bind. I remember one guy was in physical, he had some physical problems, and I gave him a year's severance and stuff, and just blessed him. And some people would say, "Why would you do that? That money was going out the door." Money is not that big of a deal. And I know that some of you watching this say, "Boy, you just don't understand. You've not been poor." I've probably been as poor as the vast majority of people watching this program. People in the United States, I've probably been poorer than all of you in the beginning of our ministry. We would go weeks at a time without eating, and on I could go. It's not that I don't value money, but I see God as my source, and money is just a tool. If I was working on something and using a tool, and if the tool broke, I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. I'll just go get another tool, and I'll keep doing it. It's not that big of a deal. Money is an asset that God gives you, but God is my source. That's what this rich man, you can see that reflected in the fact that he wound up giving a compliment to this steward, even though this steward was stealing money from him. It shows that he was detached from his money. His money was not where his faith was, his security. His security was in the Lord. And we need to reach that place to where we see God as our source, that this is his money. It's his talents that he gave me. And if you get, you know, if you lose a job, if you go through a shutdown, layoff, and in things, it's no big deal. God is your source, and He's got other ways that He can get finances to you. I tell you what I'm saying right here, if you would receive it, will really set some of you free. Some of you are worrying about how am I going to make it because you're just looking at your checking accounts. You're looking at your savings accounts. You're looking at your paycheck instead of looking to God. God is your source. And once you understand this, it just gives you a freedom and a liberty that you could take everything from me. And I guarantee you, I'd get it back because I've still got the source of all of the finances, all of the things that God has done in my life. It came because of my relationship with the Lord, and nobody can take that from me. Therefore, I am secure. Amen.
Welcome to the AWM Minute, a small glimpse on how the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries are helping people around the world receive their healing, people like Jeremiah Klass. For years, Jeremiah struggled with an incurable case of multiple sclerosis. There seemed to be no hope for recovery. That is, until the day he stumbled across our website and heard for the first time that God's healing was available for him.
They had put me on disability because of the MS, so I had all the time in the world. So I started listening to God Wants You Well, all these different teachings that he had on his website, and just listening to him day after day.
Inspired by Andrew's free teachings, Jeremiah enrolled into Charis Bible College. It was here that God showed him that the key to his healing was through not a formula, but through learning to rest in the finished work of Jesus. To see Jeremiah's full story, visit awmi.net today.
I want to let you know that we have now started a Charis Daily Live Bible Study. We've been doing a Bible study every Tuesday night live for about 2 years, but now we have 5 days a week. We've varied the times so that we can accommodate anybody's schedule, and it's going to really be good. We're going to use our instructors from the school, and it'll be a blessing. So remember, we now have a Charis Daily Live Bible Study 5 days a week.
Andrew is offering his complete teaching on financial stewardship in your choice of either a book, CD album, or DVD album as his free gift to you today. Go to awmi.net to order your free product today. This offer is limited to one free product per household and is only available in the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. This teaching is also available as a companion study guide for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get these valuable resources in the Financial Stewardship Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship book, study guide, and your choice of either the CD or DVD album, as well as the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. This DVD includes 6 testimonies of people that experience the freedom of turning their finances over to God. This package has a catalog value of $115, but you can get it today for only $80. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get these products. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can call our helpline 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 719-635-1111. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.